You know, to me, I struggle every year trying to come up with a Mother's Day message. You know, it's such a awesome responsibility as a mother, the jobs that they do. A lot of things we take for granted. You know, one thing I was thinking about, you ever notice how mothers are blamed for everything? You ever notice that? You know, if you can't find your socks, if you got, you know, if no matter what it is, you know, it's, Mom, where's this? Mom, where's that? You know, and what'd you do with this or what'd you do with that? You know, and it's automatically the mother's fault. And I think us as not only as kids, but also as husbands, we also automatically, you know, where'd you put this? Where'd you put that? You know, I read a little story that about a school teacher. I know you've all probably heard this, but the teacher was doing lessons on magnets and what they do and how they're made she handed out the test, and one of the questions on the test was that I'm start with the word M, and what am I? I pick things up. So what am I? And 50% of the kids in that class answered mother. You know, pick things up. You know. Amen, brother. You preach it. he tries his best to get up here and help me, bless his heart. You know, a mother's job is never ending. You know, us men, we can go home from work and say, well, we've done our job, we put our work in, but a mother's job continues on 24/7. You know, it's I hope you're not one of them men that comes in and flops down in the recliner and wants a little bell for your wife to wait on you, but you know, a woman's work is never done, and I think too many times that we take them for granted too much. You know, I hope this message this morning will encourage you, and I hope it'll also challenge you, challenge all of us. It's going to be out of the book of Titus, and you say, "Well, where in the world is Titus?" It's right in the back end of your, right behind Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy. We have a little letter that Paul wrote called Titus. We're going to be in chapter 2. We're looking at a few verses there. And the title to this would be God's Way for the Woman. And we're going to look at some truths that were God-inspired, that were written in His Word for your benefit. Let's go, and we're going to read them, then we're going to come back and look at a few of them in chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be, how do you pronounce that, chaste? Chaste? C-H-A-S-T-E. Chaste? What? Keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I want to point out to you
first of all, some things that are going on nation today. When you think about some stuff such as immorality, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, abortion, juvenile delinquents, sexually transmitted diseases, all of these are on the rise, and they're also all aimed at destroying the family unit. In other words, our homes are on the front lines of the battleground. You say, what battle are we talking about? What does Paul say in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12? He says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Folks, if you're having trouble in your home, that right there tells you exactly where it's coming from. It's not something that's physical. It is a spiritual battle. And our homes are being attacked, because if he can destroy homes, he can destroy churches, right? Because that's what a church is made up of, is homes. Each one of us here represent a home, a family unit. And if he can destroy those, his aim is to destroy the church. You see, God has a plan, and he has instruction for each one of us. So when all else fails, when everything in your life that you've been trying to do fails, go back and read the instructions, right? Boy, us men love to do that. I remember trying to put things together like Christmas toys and stuff, you know, and I'd be getting frustrated, and June would come and say, "Well, did you read the instructions?" Of course I didn't read the instructions, you know, and I'm not going to, you know. We want to put it together ourselves, but when it's not working, we need to stop and go back and look at the instructions. And those instructions are in God's Word. So if your plan's not working, try God's plan. The first word I want to look at is in verse 1. It says, "Things which become sound doctrine." That "become" the word means that beautifies. Things that beautify sound doctrine. And then I want to jump down and look at verse 10. The last part of that says that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Adorn is in the Greek, we get our English word, which means cosmetics. So, ladies, if you really want to be beautiful this morning, not just outwardly, but inwardly, you need to live God's way. You need to do it according to God's plan. We're going to look at the things which adorn, things which become, things which beautify sound doctrine. That's what it says in verse 1, sound doctrine. Verses 3 through 4 says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as become of holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children." So in other words, they're to teach the young women. Now, that English word there, the word aged, When you look at that, I know some of you women are, you know, that is not the way we think about it as aged. I want to explain this to you. That word there, aged, and taken in this text and in this time, and the Hebrew traditions that they had, it's talking about the women, the people. Say you have your kids grown or almost to be grown. This is who it's talking about.
Experience.
Who in here has been married for 25 years, ladies? Stand up. If you were married for 25 years, stand up. There are several of you there that was married longer than that, that lost your husbands. Is she counting? All right. Now, just stand right there for just a second. This message is for, I know there's some of you that are not standing that have lost your husbands. I know you were married more than 25 years, right? You wasn't? Okay. This message is for you guys. I mean, it's for all of us, but this is the point. These younger women, you're to be helping them grow, to challenge them, to help them with their family on spiritual matters and godly, sound doctrine. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, that right there just points out, look at the men they're married to. That right there glorifies God, you know, for her to have to put up with me for 25 years, you know. So their job, their instruction is to teach the younger women. So the young women of Western Grove Bible Church, they're supposed to listen to these women. They're supposed to learn. They're supposed to be teaching them, and they're supposed to be, their responsibility is to listen. It's a God-given responsibility to teach. It's the younger women's responsibility to listen. Do you know, it's not that you're just supposed to learn here from what comes from behind this pulpit. This scripture here tells us that yet you women are supposed to be teaching the younger ones also. So the first one would be that does your life become, does it adorn, does it beautify sound doctrine? And to do that, the first responsibility is that you teach. The younger women. I ask you a question today. Who is teaching the younger Christian women of America today? Who is shaping their family values? Is it Oprah? Is it Dr. Phil? People like that? Are they the ones that are actually teaching the women of today? The world is sending a negative message. The world will tell a woman that if they're not happy with their old geezer anymore, to not satisfied with him, to leave him. The world is telling them that they have that right to be happy. Our job as a church, our job as instructors of the Word of God, of sound doctrine, is to tell them that they have that right to keep that commitment to God, to that vow that they took before God. And I think a lot of us would tell and share, if they were truthful, that it's not that the love that sustains your marriage, it's that commitment. It's your commitment that sustains your love. You keep that vow that you made to God, that commitment that you made to God. You say, well, Brother Dennis, that's not going to make me happy. according to God's word, if you're living by sound doctrine, it will. And remember I said that age, the word age, we're not talking about the elderly, we're talking about those women and families who have raised children, and either they're going to soon to leave or have already got them raised. The Bible says right here that it is a command. It is a command. It's not a suggestion that, well, if you're interested, you need to help out and do this. It is a command. And if you're not investing your life into the lives of these younger women, you're not fulfilling God's given responsibility to you as a woman. Do you hear me? It's not a suggestion, it is a command. I know you men are sitting there thinking, yeah, give it to them. Give, you know, lay it on them. Well, I want to remind you here that it starts out in verse 2 that the aged men. See, this is instruction for both of us. And in verse 3, it switches and it says likewise. Then it starts talking to the women. So this message is for both of us. So you can quit tooting your horn and listen up. This message is for you guys too and me. So if you are not investing in the lives of these younger Christians, and they don't have to necessarily be younger in age, they can be just a younger Christian, then you are not fulfilling God's responsibility that He has given you, His command. So what is the motive here? It tells us in verse 5. The last part of verse 5 says that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? That the word of God be not blasphemed. You know, the best thing that we can do to improve our influence in this community, in this area, in this church, is to build strong family units. Amen? You see, the world may not be listening to our messages that we're putting out, but they're certainly watching what we're doing. You better believe that. There's people down here at the store that may not be listening to our message. They may not hear a thing you say, but they're watching every move you make. You hear me? So if we're standing up here and we're preaching salvation through Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is the only way, and He is the only way, and yet within our church, there's these family units that are falling apart, it undermines our message. Do you hear me? We need to be strengthening our families. And it's all of us' responsibility as a church to strengthen them. We have some young married couples here this morning. We have some people that's been married for 25 years. We need to be strengthening them and encouraging them as a family unit. So, Paul, basically what Paul is saying here, that if we allow homes in our church to disintegrate, it blasphemes the Word of God. So, what if you're sitting here this morning and your spouse has left you and you're divorced? What are you going to do? I'll tell you what you can do. You can be a testimony to God by remaining faithful and continue to go to church and to continue to be close to God and continue to build that relationship with Him. Amen? Because people are watching. People are watching. Let's back up to verse 3 again. I want to look at a word there. It says that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. In other words, their behavior is like a fragrance of holiness. If you'll remember, in the Old Testament, it teaches that when the priest went into the holy place, the holy of holies, to burn incense to God, when they came out, that fragrance of incense that was burning, they could smell it on their garments, and they could tell that they'd been in the holy of holies. When we get around people, they need to be able to sense, they need to be able to smell Christ on us. They need to be able to sense that presence of something different in our lives. They need to realize that we smell different. Do you smell different? Do you? Sometimes we get to stinking. Sometimes I get to stinking. The way to keep from doing that is to stay with sound doctrine. To stay with Jesus Christ. To have people around you to support you and help you keep you clean. Sound doctrine. Behavior. A behavior becometh holiness. We need to look holy. We need to smell holy. You know, there's something about a woman, a godly woman, that they have a glow to them. You know, it's kind of like a woman that is pregnant. When they get to that certain stage, they have a glow about them. I mean, they just glow. Notice I said a certain stage because there's a time frame there. They got a glow. You can see it in them. You know, and I love being around those women when they're in that stage right there, because they make me feel good. They're full of life. Amen. And it says, not false accusers. Not false accusers. In other words, don't be a gossip. You know, and also what I thought about that when I read that, it says not false accusers. Like if somebody's accusing you of gossiping and you're sitting there saying, well, I don't gossip. I'm just telling something. Or I don't gossip. Oh, by the way, and then you just go right on talking. That's what a false accuser is. Much wine. It says, given to much wine. In other words, Paul's saying here, don't be a slave to addiction. So what are they to teach? It actually tells us what they're to teach. They're to teach the young women to be sober. In other words, to be discreet, to be serious-minded, to be level-headed, or to have good judgment. Teach them to have good judgment. And it also teaches, it says, to love their husbands. Do you have to learn to love? Do you have to learn to love? Stop and think about this for just a moment. In biblical times here, in the Hebrew tradition, the parents picked out, they made the arrangement of who you were going to marry. I know some of you women would like to have that right now. Say, ooh, I'd like to pick out one for my son or my daughter. See, when they made these arrangements, were our society today, we fall in love and then we get married. Back then, they got married and then they had to fall in love. So they had to learn to love. And I believe in our society today that you have to learn to love your spouse the way Jesus Christ wants you to learn to love them. See, there's love. You can love your spouse, but also there's the way that Jesus Christ wants you to love your spouse. And you have got to learn to love them like that. You see, well, how in the world do you do that? Behind every command of God, and this is a commandment, behind every command of God, there is also the power of God. He will give you the power to do it if you have the desire to do it. It also says there in that same verse to love their children. Do you have to learn to love your children? You know, I heard a woman say this just the other day, that she loved her children so much that she couldn't spank them. She don't know what love is. She don't know what love is. And I want to share with you what real love is. In Proverbs 13:24, I'm paraphrasing this, but he's going to put it up. He who spares the rod hates his son. When these children, when they need their tail busted, you need to bust it. And if you love them, you'll be doing it. So that's another thing that we need to be teaching them, how to love their husbands, how to love their children. What else does it say in that verse there? Verse 4, to love their husbands, to love their children. Verse 5, to be discreet. Also teaches there that they need to have old-fashioned purity. What is our world teaching our young people today about purity, about sexual purity? You see, you stop and think about it, our school system is teaching sex education in school, and that same generation that is teaching it is the same generation that took prayer out of the schools. And yet we're letting them teach our children. It is our responsibility as church, is our responsibility, you as women, to teach the younger ones that they need to be pure. It also says that they need to be keepers, obedient to their own husband, be discreet, as keepers at home. You know, all I can say about that is that if I know some of you just have to work because of economic times that we live in, but if you make sure it's out of need and not out of greed, make sure you have to work. I want to encourage you this morning and remind you as women that there is no higher calling. There is no higher calling than to be a wife or a mother. You have a great, great responsibility according to the Word of God. I hope this has been a message that challenges you. I also hope it encourages you too. That it will encourage us as a church to make sure that we're doing our part, to make sure that we're helping to hold our families together. Remember that the world is listening to you, but they're certainly watching what we do. I challenge each mother here this morning to take on some younger Christian and help them, encourage them for strength, for growth, somebody they can go to for and talk to about their problems. Somebody they can go to and talk about their husbands. I'm joking.